So I've started the recording. Hello, everyone. I'm going to put you on mute so that we get a nice, clean recording, although, of course, I miss hearing your voices. but I'm hoping that maybe today, near the end, we'll have time for some questions. I'm going to see if I can leave some time for Q&A at the end of this call, both on anything that's coming up around today, around the course material for Saraswati. Yay, we get to be with Saraswati today, or anything coming up from the rest of the class. So, again, I'm Laura Cornell of Divine Feminine Yoga. Today is Thursday morning, March 1st. Wow, it's already March. I'm kind of like amazed by that. And we are halfway through our class. This is the midpoint. It has been super full, super rich, lots and lots of content, and we have quite a bit more to go. So today we're going to be really looking at the creative side of being a yoga teacher. We're going to look at Saraswati, Goddess Saraswati, and what does she have to teach us about flowing with the creativity of the cosmos and stepping into that kind of divine guidance, and how that affects our teaching on a daily basis, how that empowers and enriches our teaching so that we are more naturally vibrant, naturally alive, which is truly attractive to our students. Our students want to feel like there's a spiritual vitality to our teaching. And so when we're in touch with this river of inspiration and intuition, this really helps our students to feel connected to us, and it helps us feel connected. So that just makes everything flow more easily. And then secondly, Saraswati is kind of that deep inspiration we need to really stay on the edge of our game, to stay on the edge of our yoga teaching so that we're constantly evolving and creating our new kind of really cutting-edge program that comes from our unique passion and our unique teaching. And when we do that, our offerings step out of the flatlands, and we take our best students to their depth and to really the depth of what we have to offer, and it becomes so much more juicy for us as the teacher when we're right on that creative edge of what we have to offer. And it's also very juicy for the students, because your best students really want to go deeper. So, you know, yes, it's great to have a lot of students in a lot of classes. That's one way to teach. But if you can kind of skim the students who are just longing to go deeper with you and help them do that, it's a great way to deepen your teaching, find more fulfillment, be of greater service, your unique service, and it can also really help your income. Okay? So we're going to look at that today and how those things all kind of come together as you really connect with Goddess Saraswati, as they say, with an English pronunciation, Saraswati, or if we're going to pronounce it more like Sanskrit, we would say Saraswati, Saraswati. So you might want to just repeat that to yourself, Saraswati. The accent is on the, not the next to the last, but before that syllable, Saraswati. Okay. So this module really connects with the previous two modules on Kali and the module on Durga, because your unique offering, your signature program that we're going to look at how to develop today, really needs to be grounded in your passion. It needs to be grounded in your uniqueness, in your unique niche, in your life story, in a pain that you've had and overcome. Something like that, okay? So it needs to be uniquely you. It needs to come from something that's important to you. And so that's why it's really important to have completed the unit on Durga before you step into this energy here and into creating your signature program. and then the unit on Kali, a lot of times people feel like, well, who am I to offer something special? I'm nobody special. I don't deserve to offer something special. So those are clearly limiting beliefs, right? And as you release those limiting beliefs, then you become free to serve beautifully, to just shine your light and serve with love. So we really need to release any limiting beliefs that I'm not good enough, or who am I to offer a special training, or who am I to offer a special title, who am I to promise that I can really help my students move out of depression or heal better after surgery or heal from addiction, whatever, you know, feel better when they're pregnant. Once we really let go of that who am I, or we let go of our self-blame and our self-doubt and our self-judgment, it becomes much more possible to be creative, because those negative self-beliefs really thwart creativity. They are creativity blockers, creativity stoppers. So when we release the fears and the doubts, it's so much easier to be creative and to enjoy being in the flow of our creativity. I want to really thank those of you who've been on the online forum. There have been a ton of you posting your bios this week. I was just had some fun this morning reading them. And what I think I'd like to do is, on our mentoring call on Monday, I'd like to go through and give my feedback to those of you who have been posting your bio. So if you'd like feedback on your bio, go ahead and post it there. And it's on the forum, so you click at the top under that tab that says forum, and then there's a thread that says bios that Liz started. And it's gotten really long. There's 27 replies. So in order to have 27 replies, it's actually 3 pages. So once you read through the first page, you're going to see Annette first, and then Marie, and Jenny, and Jenny, and Annette, and Jenny. Some of you are replying to each other, which is great, and Demi, and Katie, Mary. There's me commenting a little bit. So, and then when you get all the way to the bottom, there's more pages. So it says previous, 1, 2, 3, next. So when you're finished reading page 1, you can go on to page 2, you can go on to page 3, and whenever you post yours, it'll go at the end. Unless you're posting a reply to someone else's, like if you read Mary's and you want to reply to Mary, click just kind of in her post, it says reply, so you can reply to Mary. But if you want to post your bio not as a reply to Mary, but as a reply to the entire email string, forum post, go up to the top of the page and there's a place there for you to create your own post in this string of posts, and then other people can reply to that. So, go ahead and do that and look at all the different pages. And I know some of you are posting them just cutting and pasting, and some of you are posting as attached documents. And someone said, oh, could you please paste it in? Because not everyone can open all attachments. Kind of, unfortunately, not all computers speak to each other. So my recommendation is actually to paste the text in. Now, if you have special formatting for your bio, if it's on a PDF, and actually PDFs for most people are easier to open than Word documents, because if someone has a new Word computer and you have an old version, or they might not be compatible. PDFs generally are pretty compatible, but still, if you can paste the text in, and then if you have some kind of fancy formatting you want feedback on, you could add that as an attachment. But in general, if you paste the text in, that will be helpful to all of us. Okay? And I'm continuing to get retreat registrations, which is great. And just a reminder, I am so looking forward to seeing those of you who are coming. Really excited to meet you in person. It's wonderful to see your faces on the forum and see what you post. And there's nothing like being together. There's a richness, there's a vitality, there's a Shakti, really. We can feel Shakti over the telephone, and it's stronger in person. So come and be in the Shakti, that living spirit, that living well, where we are together and we can support each other and really lift each other up. Because if you're having any kind of issues or it's really not about that. Let me back up a little bit. There's something about standing in a circle of women and this whole concept of sisterhood, that we are here together as yoga teachers we have a mission on this planet, right? The world needs us. And the world needs each one of us to shine our unique light and get it out there to the world in a big, beautiful way, in the way we are meant to. And it's going to look really different for each one of us. And that's okay. We don't have to be the same. So what happens is when you see your sisters come together and they share what they're doing in their business and where they're stuck and where they need help and where they're really thriving, you just feel so much love for them. And then you realize you have that same love for yourself. And it helps you to grow, to know that your sisters are wanting that for you to thrive at your own level, at your own stage of growth as a yoga teacher. And so it's like I personally experience this alchemy of love when I'm in a women's circle. And this is a women's circle focused on your business and your teaching to help you really find your voice, create your program, learn how to attract all the students that you're longing to serve, to have the income you need to thrive so you're not struggling being broke, which really doesn't help us shine our light very well. So, yeah, I really encourage you, if you haven't registered yet, to register your bonus ticket. If you need any help, you can email Liz, L-I-Z, at divinefeminineyoga.com. She's the one who helps us with everything. Thank you, thank you, thank you to Liz. And let me see if there's anything else I want to say this morning. Oh, yeah, one more thing about the bios. We worked on Maureen's bio in the second class. And I just, for those of you who are wondering what the finished version came out to be, we posted it in that thread on bios. So you can go see it there. I think I'm also going to post it as a PDF on under Module 2, so that that module is not incomplete. But when you download the guidebook, you also have Maureen's bio, the finished version. I reworked it a little, and then Maureen worked it a little bit to pick the words that really were true to her. You know, your bio has to resonate with you, first of all, more than anyone else. Okay. Some tea here. We've had a couple people join us on the phone. Hello to everyone who has joined us. And I'm just going to go over here and look at the webcast. And a couple more on the web. Hi. So, great. Okay, now, luckily this morning I had some good meditation time and some good asana time. Even in the rain, I went outside and put my bare feet on the earth, which was wonderful. And wouldn't you know it, even though I'm still kind of struggling with a pretty fierce flu this week, the inspiration that came to me this morning was to do a little chanting. Just on the day when my voice, the week when my voice isn't as strong as it normally is. So we're just going to forget about the voice not being what I'm used to. And we're going to do a little chanting here as we get into this energy of Saraswati. So I invite you to imagine that we're all together sitting by a river. Okay, and get comfortable. And the goddess Saraswati is depicted as playing a veena, is that beautiful long-stemmed lute. Now, I don't play the veena. Someone in our class, Lakshmi, actually learned it as a young child. I don't play the veena. I have here a Shruti box. But this whole idea of a beautiful woman, she's dressed in white, sitting by a river. So there's that flow of water, the constant flow of water, which is, symbolizes divine spirit, wisdom, guidance from the cosmos. And just maybe visualize us right next to Goddess Saraswati. And it's beautiful, and there might be swans. There's, you can feel the vibrant air from that water flowing. Maybe there's electrons in the air, healthy electrons. You hear the sounds of the gurgling river. And we're going to chant, I am opening up in sweet surrender to the luminous love light of the One. I'll say that again. I am opening up, you can repeat, I am opening up in sweet surrender to the luminous love light of the One. And then it goes, I am opening. I am opening. Okay? So we'll chant that. You can sing along with me. I am opening up in sweet surrender to the luminous love light of the One. I am opening up in sweet surrender to the luminous love light of the One. I am opening. I am opening. I am opening. I am opening. I am opening up in sweet surrender to the luminous love light of the One. I am opening up in sweet surrender to the luminous love light of the One. I am opening. I am opening. I am opening. I am opening. Om Namaha Saraswatyai. Om Namaha Saraswatyai. Om Namaha Saraswatyai. Take a moment to feel that luminous love light that is your essence. Luminous love light of the cosmos shining right through you, in you, every cell of your being, illuminating you, inspiring you, guiding you. So let's look at the guidebook for Module 3. It's on the website, and oh my goodness, we had it up an hour in advance this time. I think that's a record. Someone asked me yesterday for a copy of it early, and I said, we're always putting the finishing touches on up to the last minute, but we actually finished 1 hour early today. Nourish your creative life with Goddess Saraswati. And there she is, beautiful Saraswati on the cover with her Veena. So, you know, there's so many different ways to think about your creativity as a yoga teacher. And the truth is that we think of creativity as painting. We think of creativity as dance. We think of creativity as maybe poetry. We don't usually think of yoga teaching as a creative art, but I've really come to see it as a creative art. There is a certain science to it in that we need to learn the alignment and the poses. You need to learn teaching methods. And in this class, we're also learning some marketing methods. We're going to particularly look at that next week. Which are service. All of it is yogic service. But I also believe that, you know, what often doesn't get taught is that teaching is a really creative act. You are constantly in the flow of what to say next, how to serve your student next, how to serve this person who's in front of you next, how to serve your community next, how to serve your target population next, how to serve your life mission, how to serve your passion. That is a constant flow of choices and decisions and small and big. We make the small decisions on a daily basis, and we make the larger decisions when we kind of set the course for our teaching. Where am I going to teach? Am I going to teach at this studio or that studio? Where am I being guided? What is my ideal vision of the studio I would like to teach at? That's a creative choice. If you create your own studio, it's a very big creative project. If you create a room in your home, or even if you're seeing private clients in your living room, how do you want it to look? What do you want the experience to be? What do you want on the walls when your students walk in? And then the way you teach each class is a very creative act. What poses to include? What to say when? How to stay connected in every moment with Divine Spirit so that you're really serving the people in front of you. You're not in your own head. You're in relationship with what that group of students needs in that moment. So if you look at the guidebook, we start with, what is my creative edge as a yoga teacher? And what is currently happening for me at this edge? So this will be really, really different in different years of your development as a yoga teacher. I know when I was a new yoga teacher, my creative edge was teaching a yoga class. That was a big creative edge for me, and I would spend time planning my classes, writing class plans, thinking about them, and designing them, and what words to use, and maybe creating a flyer, or a few years later, a newsletter. And now when I go to teach a yoga class, there is still a creative process in the moment of teaching the class. But it's not something that at home I need to be spending a good deal of time planning a class anymore. That is not my creative edge. Okay? My creative edge would be honestly more in something like really offering this class, creating the guidebooks, serving my private clients, serving all of you in this class. So that is where the edge of my creativity is. If you think about, and in different years it's been very, very different, what is my own creative edge. So you might just think about in your own life, what is your creative edge? And it's probably not the same as it was a year ago. And that's as it should be. If you stay with the same creative edge for many years, you will start to become stale, and you will feel a little bit bored. It's no fun, and you will need something new, or at least you will need to bring in new things into your teaching to keep them constantly alive, your classes alive. There's this concept, my husband and I were backpacking a few years ago, and there's this thing where you have in the California mountains, there'll be like a bog, a swampy area, flat land just beneath a mountain, where it's kind of marshy, and then at the edge of that there's these pine trees, and then gradually what happens is the pine trees take over the bog. They take over the swampy area, and then it's all pine trees. So there's this edge where little baby pine trees are growing, and different plants, and certain plants can only grow in the shade, and other plants can only grow in the sun where the little wildflowers in the bog are. And so there's this edge where the forest is growing, it's advancing. So how are you growing? How are you advancing? Or if you think about, I live here in San Francisco, Oakland actually, at the San Francisco Bay. And so there's water from the Sacramento River, the Sacramento Delta, coming down and then going out into the Pacific Ocean, right? And then the tides come back in and they bring salt water into the bay. There's this big bay that all the cities of the Bay Area are around. And a bay is a very fertile area for new growth because it's mixing salt water, the tide water, with the fresh water. And so lots and lots of growth can occur here in a bay. Baby plants, baby animals, baby plankton, and new evolution, actually. Bays are very... they have a lot of species diversity around bays all over the world. And so in a way, the edge of your creativity is like a bay. You want to be nourishing the edge of your creativity with constant inflow of inspiration. You might be reading books related to to the edge of your creativity. You might be going to classes related to the edge of your creativity. You might be observing other teachers and learning from other teachers on the edge of your creativity. And then you're delving into your own ocean. You're experimenting with your teaching. You're trying new things. You're bringing that in. And there's this constant kind of like mixing of the salt water and the river water as you, you know, are creating something new in your teaching. And what is your bay will not be the same. If when you are a beginning yoga teacher, most often it's your regular yoga classes. That will not be that way in 5 or 10 years. Okay? So let yourself evolve and see what is your current creative edge and let it evolve, let it change. Now, we do things on a daily basis as yoga teachers. Many yoga teachers meditate. I personally meditate. And it's a way to let the mind go quiet because deep, deep inspiration does not come from our personal mind. It is not like my brain is inherently creative. Now, or anyone's brain. Yes, there's a lot of little neurons running around, they're flashing, but really my understanding is that we are receiving ideas from the cosmos. We are receiving ideas from inspiration, from the divine light that shines in each one of us. And so the mental processes can get in the way of that. So just like I said, fears and doubts can get in the way of that. Well, too many thoughts can get in the way of creativity. So allowing yourself time to be quiet every day. Now, for some of us, it'll be our asana practice. You know, your asana practice is when the mind gets quiet. And just the experience of quieting the mind on a daily basis is very healthy for your creativity and very healthy for your sense of inspiration and connection to deep wisdom. And I recommend doing things perhaps also on a weekly basis, like going on a walk in nature. If you can't do it daily, go weekly. Yearly, go on a deep retreat, a long retreat on a yearly basis. So at least. So we have daily practices, weekly practices, and annual practices. And places in nature are great places. I love, when I used to live closer to the bay than I do now, I used to love to walk down to the bay in the morning and put my hands into the water and just lift up that beautiful water and look out across the bay and just feel the life in my hands. So sweet. So what is there close to you that you can connect with? Is it a tree? Is it a park? Is there a women's circle? Sometimes, you know, that's a great place. Is it, for many years, my best meditation came after I'd taught a yoga class. So I would be sure to give a few minutes of silent meditation after my yoga classes so that I could, with my students, it was a gift to them and a gift to me, enjoy that inner quiet that, you know, uniquely comes after shavasana, after a beautiful asana practice. If there's temples near you, you might want to go and meditate in one of them. Excuse me. I'm here. I used to live right near a Siddha Yoga ashram, and I would love going to that ashram. Meditate in the temple of Bade Baba. Get a lot of insights there. So where do you have in your life that you can go? And here on the bottom of page 2, I list a practice that I recommend you try for seeking guidance. If there's a specific question or a challenge, problem you're facing that you need guidance on, look at the steps here. They're quite helpful. Let me see how I'm doing on time. We're great. We are just great. So, as a yoga teacher, we use our voice to teach. Right now I'm using my voice. And when you stand in front of a yoga class or you give a talk or you work with a private client, you're using your voice. And speech and the voice is governed by Goddess Saraswati. And I love thinking about that, that all speech is considered feminine in the yoga tradition. It comes from the Vedas, where it was the goddess Vach, who's been kind of absorbed into the goddess Saraswati, Vach meaning speech. And I love the idea of speech as sacred. And it also comes from this idea of sound as sacred and all vibration as sacred. So can you allow yourself to feel that every sound that emanates from your body is sacred? And how would you talk if you really believed that? How would you pronounce your words? I want to tell you a couple stories from my own life about this. About 20 years ago, I started to learn to speak Spanish. I live here in the Bay Area, and there's a ton of immigrants from all over Latin America. At that time, I was meeting immigrants from Central America. I was teaching ESL as a volunteer in those communities. People seeking asylum, actually, from violence in their countries. And I started to learn Spanish. And as I learned it, people told me that I sounded like a completely different person when I spoke Spanish than when I spoke English. For many years, I was a Spanish bilingual elementary school teacher. This is what I did before I became a yoga teacher. And so, gosh, isn't it interesting that I'm talking about Saraswati on a day when my voice is a little off? I really think that this is not so much about the physical quality of your voice, if you have a high voice or a low voice. It's not about that, folks. It's not about what your voice sounds like. It's about the feeling behind the voice. So some of you may know, I'm not sure how many of you have heard this story. I don't think it was in the preview call for this course, but I talked about this in the Divine Feminine Yoga Telesummit, which is still available free to the public. You can go to divinefeminineyogatelesummit.com. It's at the bottom in the signature of all of my emails and download all those recordings. And in my interview, I talked about how it's been a journey for me to step into my feminine side. I used to live very much in my head, very much in my masculine side. I was very disconnected from my mother, literally, emotionally, and I just wanted nothing to do with the qualities that my mother expressed. And I was much more identified with my father. And kind of like Athena. Yeah, I think very nerdy physics major. So, I was quite in my head for many, many, many years, and yoga has helped me move out of that. But another piece of that is voice and the way I use my voice. And it was interesting for me to notice that I let myself be feminine in Spanish before I let myself be feminine in English. So if you are nervous about using your voice, you might try speaking in a foreign language if you know one, or singing a song or saying a poem. And just let yourself express all the love that you have in your heart in that language. Another story is one of my teachers is Jala Jabanaim, who teaches about the goddess and has written several books on the goddess. I love Jala Ja. B-O-N-H-E-I-M, Bonheim. And I've taken many workshops with her, and her voice, she's lived in India for a while, and she learned temple dance. Her voice, I would listen to her read poetry, and I would just think, wow. It's like every word was so sacred. And I just felt that there was so much love in her voice. There was so much tenderness in her voice, that she was speaking to the goddess. She was speaking for the goddess. She was speaking as the goddess with each word. And so I decided I wanted to let myself be that way. I just, you know, why not walk as the goddess? We are the goddess. And so there's a gentleness, there's a tenderness, there's a strength that comes with knowing that the words, the thoughts are not you, they're the goddess. We are not the doer. And a wonderful way to practice this is to take sacred poetry. You can take any poetry that you love and read it at home with just love and tenderness. Read it. And it's a wonderful way to practice the sacredness of speech. Okay, so I'll leave you with that. There's some other practices here you can try. And then I list some creative projects that teachers need to work on. You might see which ones are up for you. Everyone has a growing edge, folks. Everyone has a growing edge. So what is it for you? So, turning to page 5, I talk about a great artist. I was actually thinking about someone like Leonardo da Vinci here. And what can we learn from great artists? And how can we be like them? Or Georgia O'Keeffe. They have just a ton of discipline. They are practicing all the time. They paint, they paint, they paint, they paint, they paint. They fill up sketchbooks. They fill up sketchbooks with rough sketches, ideas, so many things that never happen. And I want to tell you guys, if you could see my house here, I just have so many ideas overflowing, many of which never come to be. Some of them do, and those are the ones that get polished. But that's part of being an artist. A creative being is just letting your creativity flow, giving yourself time. Now, some people think that copying is not real creativity. I was talking to one of my clients recently who said, well, I don't really come up with my own yoga classes, I just copy others. That is creativity. Did you know that in art school, one of the things they do over and over again, and all the great artists look at the other great artists and copy them? It is a stage of creativity. So let yourself learn by others' examples. That is completely valid. Find the people you really admire, teachers you admire. Watch them. Go to their classes. Listen to them. Write down their words. Imagine listen to yourself saying something similar. And I'm not saying to plagiarize. That's not cool, right? And I'm not saying to copy 100% verbatim. But you can certainly learn from the structure of other teachers' classes. You can learn from the poses of your favorite teachers. You can learn from the guided visualizations of them. That is a very valid method of learning and becoming a great teacher yourself. And what happens is once you've internalized forms from others, you're then free to let the form go and create your own form. So on the next page, I talk about what it takes to really nourish creativity. And we all have something creative to be nourishing. The first thing is to plan time. And I recommend that you take at least 2 half days, like 2 4-hour blocks or 2 3-hour blocks minimum per week, where there's nothing else going on. You're not checking your email. You're not answering your telephone. You're not doing admin. You're not responding to clients. You're not teaching clients. You're not doing your bookkeeping. You're not traveling. You are completely dedicated to developing your creative edge. Okay? If you can get 2 full days, that would be even more ideal. But many of us need to spend time in, servicing clients, serving clients, teaching our classes, doing the other things, doing the admin. So, but you do need to plan time. Put it in your schedule. Write it down on your calendar. Tell your family not to bother you. And then you need to think about where you do your best creativity. Is it in your yoga studio? Is it in a special room in your home? Is it on a special couch? Is it going to a cafe or a library? Is it outside in a park? Is it on a hike? One of the things that I do when I have a project and it feels like a little bit hard is I set a timer and I'll say, okay, I'm going to concentrate for 90 minutes. Now, 90 minutes is a good period of time for the brain to really focus, and then you're going to need a rest. But I say, okay, and I put on the timer for my timer for 90 minutes. I have nearby me some tea, maybe a snack if I think I might need it. And I will actually sometimes make a list of the things I'd like to get done in that 90 minutes. I'll say, okay, I'm going to read. Let's say I'm writing an email. It can be very hard to look at a blank piece of paper and try and write from scratch. So I'll help myself get started, I'll break it into little pieces. And I'll make a list, and I'll say, okay, today I'm going to read my last email. Today I'm going to look at my folder of email ideas. Or today I'm going to generate a list of email ideas. Or today I'm going to write down the topics related to the Divine Feminine that might be great email topics. Or today I'm going to read my draft from yesterday and then revise it. And with the timer on, there's something about it's like you've set a boundary around, I'm not going to check email for this time, I'm not going to even answer the telephone right now. And then when that 90 minutes is up, you might choose 30, I used to do 30. Then you go for a walk, you stand up, you clean your table, you look at the sun, you play with your dog, right? You take a break. So that's one of the things that I've been doing. I've actually found recently, because I'm working more and more at home, it used to be that I did my best creativity at home, but now I'm finding that going to a cafe, believe it or not, with all the distractions there, is actually less distracting for me. So I've gone through different phases and different times of my life where I work best creatively. And the thing about what happens is, once you start creating regular structured time, you will get downloads at other times when you're not planning on it. Okay, so as soon as you block into your calendar that you're going to work on your email or you're going to work on your next workshop plan or your class plan, you might work on that for 90 minutes or, you know, take a break and then another 90 minutes or something like that. And then you're taking a walk and all of a sudden you get this whole download of ideas. That's a great time to write them down. Excuse me. Because that's just how it happens. If you were not taking disciplined, structured time for your creative projects, you probably would also not be getting the downloads. The unexpected downloads become more frequent when you have structured time that you plan into your day. But then you're going to find creative ideas coming to you. You're asleep and you wake up and you're like, your eyes open. Oh, I know what I want to say in that program, or I've got the title for my program, or, you know, ideas will come to you when you least expect them. If you have the spaciousness, if it's possible, okay, take some time and just write down everything that came to you, because honestly, you might not remember it a few hours later. As soon as you can. It might be the next day, but if you can do it the same day, if you can even do it immediately, that's ideal. But honor those downloads. That's just how the process works. And I want to say some things in specific about writing. There's a lot we have to write in our yoga business. So the teaching is creative. Using your voice is creative. Organizing a workshop is creative. And then you need to write the promotional material. You need to write the flyer. You need to write the web page that describes it. You need to write the blog post. You need to write the email. So there's quite a bit of writing these days that goes along with promotion, but also it can be the materials for your class. If it's a handout or a worksheet or a guidebook that goes along with something, you need to be doing some writing. So similarly to other types of art, there's a lot of experimentation. Right? I just gather files and files of rough ideas. When I was preparing this class, I just gathered tons and tons of rough ideas. over a period of about 2 months, really, because I had the idea for this at the beginning of November. And it didn't take form until January. So I had a file. I would just get and download an idea, and I would just throw, you know, pages and pages of notes into there. And then once you take all those rough ideas, and that's when you start to shape. It's kind of like sculpture. Okay, you read over all your rough ideas, and how do these fit together? What is the connection? What is the relationship? What do I need to add? What's missing? What's going to take away? What's too much? That's like sculpture. And then there really is a certain discipline at the end to polishing your work, really. And I highly recommend working with an editor. I think this is surprising to a lot of yoga teachers, but I wouldn't send out anything, personally, I don't, until I have an editor. Now, sometimes it's just my husband. Sometimes I'll write an email newsletter, set it up, and then have my husband proof it. And sometimes that's enough. Sometimes he'll have very minor changes. Sometimes he'll say, no, you need to change this, this, and this, in a pretty detailed, in-depth way. But sometimes, well, for these guidebooks that you're getting, I've been working with a wonderful designer and editor who has just, you know, checked for proofreading errors and also made it look great. Isn't she fabulous? I'm really grateful for this amazing designer who's put it in such a lovely format. But don't send a flyer out, because we cannot notice our own typos. We just cannot notice our own typos. You cannot notice your own grammatical mistakes. Read everything aloud and be willing to do revisions, okay? Come back to something the next day and be willing to revise it. Show it to your friend. Ask them what they understand, what they like, and ask them what doesn't make sense to them. And be willing to fix it. A lot of times people think, oh, my first draft should be good enough. Be willing to craft your writing. Be willing to work on it, okay? And then when you think it's done, read every word aloud, show it to someone again, have the final version proofread. It can be a paid editor if you want to do that, or it can be someone in your family, someone on your team, a neighbor who's a good writer. And we'll check spelling mistakes, because spell checks these days, they miss quite a number of words, and they can miss grammatical mistakes. So please do that. Okay. So now we're going to talk about designing your signature workshop, your advanced training, or your committed private program. Okay? This is your best offering. This is your ocean, or for some of you it might be your river, right? If we go back to that model that I showed you from Module 1 on an empowered business model, where you have free offerings, then you have entry-level offerings, and then you have more highly committed, perhaps more time lengthy, perhaps a higher dollar value offerings. So we're not talking about drop-in yoga classes here, okay? So everyone in this class can create something like this, even if you're an absolutely new beginning teacher, okay? Or if you're a very, very experienced teacher, they will look different depending on where you are in your growth and development as a yoga teacher. Goodness gracious. Just taking a breath here for a moment, everyone. Talking for an hour is a little bit hard for me. I'm here. Hold on. All right. Okay. I think I'm back. I want to talk about some of the different ways this might look. If you are a new teacher and you're wanting to work with clients with depression, and you know you want to work one-on-one, then for you this might be private sessions bundled into a group for your clients. If you are a nurse and you're wanting to work with post-surgery clients, then this, again, might look like private sessions bundled into a group. If you are wanting to offer a program for addictions, this might be a group class or a workshop on addictions, or it might be more a series of private sessions where you invite people into, say, a group of 6 to 8 private lessons, and they get a bonus with that, maybe an audio or a guided visualization or a book that goes along with what you're wanting to cover. So it might simply be private sessions that are woven together and that are flexible for each student, where each student is getting something unique to them. But the way you write about it, the way you think about it, the way you talk about it is in some type of a comprehensive transformation that you want for your clients. If you are a prenatal yoga teacher and you're wanting to offer, say, a 4-session workshop in how to prepare for a healthy, happy birth, or a healthy, peaceful birth, this would be a series, say, of 4 in-depth workshops. If you are wanting to teach yoga in the workplace and you've never done it before, this could be your creative edge. And it could be that you design simply what it's going to look like for someone in the workplace who's a beginner and has never done yoga before to start taking yoga on their lunch break. What is the transformation you're going to be taking them through? If you're wanting to offer a workshop on sacred mothering, and it could be 4 sessions, 4 2-hour sessions, what are the different themes you want to take them through? If you have a yoga teacher training, you might not want to change the training if you have an existing program, but it might be that you want to understand it better because all of the exercises in this next several pages here are going to help you prepare your marketing. So today what we're going to do is we're going to look at how you can create your program. This is a brainstorming, a series of 7 steps to help you brainstorm, actually 8 steps to help you brainstorm your program and then start thinking about it. I'd like you to start thinking about it this week. And then next week we'll take all the work you've done here and put it into a description, a program description that you can use in your marketing. Okay, and again, everyone in this class can do this. In some level, if you feel like you're stuck and you don't have an idea of what to offer for your signature program, please go on the forum and ask for help, or please come on the mentoring call on Monday and ask for help. So the first thing you want to get clear on is, what is the change you're wanting to bring about in others? What is the gift of the transformation that you want to offer? And again, this is going to come from the work we did in Module 1 on Durga. What is your passion? What transformation have you received in your life through your yoga practice? What pain have you overcome that you can now help others overcome? What specialized knowledge do you have that you would love to share with some group that you're passionate about helping? So go ahead and answer these questions here on page 9, and they may not all be relevant to you, right? not all of these questions will be relevant for everyone, but at least one of them will get you started thinking about what transformation you'd like to offer. And I know some of you probably are already clear on what your in-depth program that you'd like to create is, and some of you aren't. So if you're not, using these questions can really help you get going. If you are clear, do this page anyway, because what's going to happen is you're going to start to find the words that you need to describe it, both when you're talking to people one-on-one and when you're talking to people in writing. In your flyer, and if you're doing an email or a web page, you're going to need these words. So these words are not only to help you get clear what you want to offer, they're also to help you get clear what words you're going to use in describing it. So go ahead and fill this out. The next part is, the next step is getting clear on how you're going to deliver this transformation. I list there different options. It could be private sessions packaged in a group. And ideally, to make it really juicy, I would encourage you to consider bonuses. That's going to be a later step, or other special add-ons. So it's not just 6 private sessions, but maybe there's an audio gift that comes with it. Maybe there's a book that comes with it. Maybe there's homework that comes with it, or a handout. Okay, so one option is private sessions that are sold in packages. Another is a committed class. This could be a class at a workplace where you say, you know, it's an 8-week series and they're all committing to the 8 weeks. It could be a class at a school for teachers after school or children. And it could be themed. It could be a themed yoga class so that it's not a regular drop-in class, but it's a class with a theme. It might not be your regular 90 minutes. It might be 2 hours. A weekend workshop. So just look at the different formats here that you can have. A teacher training, a training for other professionals in something that might include yoga. Okay, those are your possibilities. And then the next step is to consider the people you're going to serve. Who are you going to be helping? And this is the other ingredient of your passion. You need to be really clear on your passion. And then I want you to start thinking about who might like this work. Who might relate to it? Who will it best serve? And you can draw from past students, if you've had them, past clients, or if you're a new teacher, draw from your friends, people you know in the world, draw from a target population. And if you can come up with 3 specific people, that's ideal. And I want you to write their names here. And for each one, you're going to think about the worries. These are the pains, the worries that keep them up at night. And I want you to pretend that you are this person. So you put on this magic thinking cap of this person. Don't use your own words. Use their words. Pretend you're this person and write 3 worries that that person has and how they might say it to their significant other when they're waking up and they say, oh, I can't believe I can't believe I couldn't sleep last night. It's just driving me crazy. And then, what are the results they would love? So if they say, gosh, I just wish I could sleep again. Put it in their words. Okay, you do not get points here for being cute or creative. The creativity comes in other places. Here, you want to really start to get those words that your actual clients would use. And on the next page, you're going to summarize. So summarize who is your ideal client and see if you can come up with a list of pain words, things that don't work for them. So for many, let's say, yoga beginners, let's think of yoga beginners. These are the pain words they have before they start yoga, because that's where we're going to be reaching out to them, if they're beginners, if we want to work with beginners. Let's say beginners who are suffering from depression. It might be they feel lethargic, they don't have any energy, they're tired, they're depressed, they're sad, they cry a lot. And what would be the pleasure words? Joy, ease, peace, balance, freedom. Okay? So start creating words, word bank here, and you're going to use this later, both when you're creating the title for your program and when you're talking to people about it. So you want to start getting familiar with words that your ideal clients use. Then, step four is really important. This is when you organize your material into steps or themes. And these could become different days of your class. These could become different sections of your content. And this is the way you organize your content. So some examples would be if you have a five-step process. This class is broken into four modules, each one based on the name of a goddess and the energy of a goddess. This is not the only way I could have organized this material, right? There's many other ways. So this is actually a very creative piece of the work because you're taking something that has no form and you're giving it structure. And there's an infinite number of ways that any body of material could be organized. If you look at there's four seasons. One of my clients is doing a workshop on the four seasons, and each workshop has a theme for a different season. That's the way she's organized it. We have 13 lunar months. You could do a workshop that was based on the lunar months. There are seven chakras. You could do a workshop based on that and the energy of the chakras. There's the five yamas. Patanjali has an eight-limbed system. So he didn't just come in with a blob. He said, I'm going to break this into eight steps. A yoga teacher training has identifiable elements. If you look at Yoga Alliance, what they require in a yoga teacher training, there's really identifiable elements. So how do you find your steps? How do you find your themes? Well, I recommend that you first write down everything that goes into the transformation. If you're looking at yourself and you're your own only person who's been through this and you're now going to just start working with others, we had someone on the mentoring call who talked about, I think it was Julie, working with body image, and that she wants to go out and train other therapists to help improve body image in their clients from a yogic perspective. Now, she may have never trained other therapists how to do that. She's done it herself. So she's going to write here all the steps that she uses with her clients. And it could be a lot. There could be 50 things she does. And then she could organize them into categories. Do they fit together? Do they group together? Does one come first? Does one come later? Or are there themes? And then you start to play with how you could organize the material. So just let yourself consider organizing it in different ways. Okay? And then page 14. After you've played with a couple of different ways to organize your material, see if you can come up with one that really fits. And this is not always an easy process. This might take you a week or two. You might organize your material one way 1 year, and then the next year come back and reorganize it. Okay? That's okay. But I want you to just to try and come up with an initial organization here. So I've written down space for you to write about four steps. Now, you might have more than four, and these could be themes, they could be values, they could be months, but this is to get you started. If you need more space, take your own piece of paper. That's great. I want you to write down the first step or theme, and what is the benefit of that? There's an immediate benefit, and then there's a far-reaching benefit, and very often the far-reaching one is more the one that our ideal clients are longing for. So, for example, I have an example here. If you want to do a program on yoga for better sleep, you might have four practices. I put down here two. Let's say one is you're going to teach your clients deep breathing, right? So the immediate benefit of deep breathing is the mind starts to soften and you can relax. And the far-reaching benefit, what's the benefit of that? Well, you can have easy, more restful sleep. Let's say that your second practice you're going to teach in this program for better sleep is restorative yoga poses. Well, the immediate benefit might be a restorative yoga pose is going to open your circulation. It's going to increase circulation, but you don't have to exert. So what's the far-reaching benefit of that, of opening your energy pathways without exertion? Well, your mind gets quiet, and you fall asleep faster at night if you practice the poses before bedtime. Okay. So I was working yesterday with someone who's working on a prenatal workshop, and your themes might be, you know, teaching visualization, teaching toning for pain management. And for each one, you're going to say, what is the direct benefit and what are the indirect benefits? Far-reaching. Not indirect, but far-reaching benefits of the benefits. Okay. Looks like I ran out of... From that, you now have enough brainstorming, enough words that you can start thinking about a possible title. You know, you don't have to stick with your first title. But go ahead and look at some of the titles there. You're going to weave into your title some probably some benefit words. Words that your ideal clients are really longing for. What are they looking for? Weave that into your title. And then something about what it is. What is the transformation? Weave in a piece of the transformation. And then a word that explains if it's a, you know, a package, a jumpstart package, if it's a training, something like that. Okay, so go ahead and brainstorm your titles. And then there's one more. That would be a great thing to post, actually, on our forum. You can post any of these, actually. And then, now we get down to, and this is one of the last things, your content delivery details. This is, how many hours will the training be? If it's private sessions, how many sessions do they need to get the results I really want to deliver? What are the dates and times? Stuff like that. Then I want you to think about bonuses. I've already talked about that. And the price. Now, price is a really interesting one, and this is one that trips up a lot of us. And I really recommend you to tune into your intuition here. And it's fine when you're getting started to have a lower price point that you're comfortable with and to gradually increase your prices as you get more comfortable. At the same time, when something is underpriced, it's very often not valued. I've had a lot of clients who said they wanted to offer free classes. Now, I do recommend a free class or a free session. I don't recommend them in an ongoing way because what happens is people value what they pay for. And very often I've had people say, gosh, I have a free class, but nobody's coming or the attendance is so low. People will be more committed if they have paid for something. So I recommend you think about that. And you can stretch yourself a little bit here. Look at your comfort zone. What is the low end of your comfort zone? What is the high end of your comfort zone? And try not to be too close to the low end. Go a little bit more towards the high end because what I've found is that when I go more towards the high end, when I have that extra income coming in, I'm able to offer more free stuff, which serves a wider number of people. I'm able to offer more lower level programs, again, which serving more people. So it's not necessarily greedy to ask your really, really committed clients because you save your time and you're able to offer a much higher level of service to those clients who raise their hand and said, I want to go deep with you. You can serve them so much better. When you are sometimes at a lower price point, you will have so many students at that lower price point that you can't serve the ones who want to go deeper at that deep level. So let yourself kind of realize that your service can be a deeper service as you raise your prices and find out who really wants that deeper level of service, who wants to go there with you. Okay. I'm going to go to the phone line and see if there's any questions or comments or just maybe we can even give time for if any of you want to share any of your insights of what you're learning in this class. Be wonderful to hear. Maybe just share what you got out of this class, any ahas. So the way you raise your hand is you press star 2. Okay, I'm wondering if somebody would like to share. We don't have any questions. If someone would like be willing to share their idea for their in-depth program that they'd like to offer so we can kind of hear and learn from what you're wanting to do. Who would like to share? You press star 2 to raise your hand. Okay, we have, let's see. Hi there.
Hello.
Hi, who is this?
This is Kelly from Michigan. How are you?
Kelly, well, as you hear, I have a little bit of a cough, but my spirit is quite happy. Good to hear you. Your phone line says Constantine, so good to know that that's Kelly. Hi, Kelly. So what do you want to share?
Well, I figured no one else was raising a hand, so I thought I would share. Thus far, I've come up with the name of my program as Blissful Glow Yoga, and that was just derived from the list of words that I went through of radiance, of joy, of allowing, you know, women their inner light to shine out. It's something that I've had people, you know, say to me. They're like, wow, like, what did you just do? Or what have you been doing? You're just glowing and you seem so happy. And I'm like, that's yoga and that's meditation.
Absolutely.
So I got Blissful Glow, and I've actually ran it across, you know, a few of my students, and they're just like, I really love that. I feel it defines what you're trying to do. Overall, I want to help women. I want to help women. I myself have gone through some things in life of having maybe people, like, you know, say and try to limit what I can do, or to say you need to be, you know, like the next person. But I've always just been a free spirit and believe that, you know, we all have our own personal gifts and our own, you know, destiny and path that we're supposed to follow. But I know how hard it can be when you maybe don't have family or you don't have friends around to support you. So that's my thing, is to try and reach out and, you know, empower the women that are like, you know, I want to have my own business, or I want to travel. I just want to live my life and be happy, to help them gain that confidence back and, you know, realize that they do have what it takes inside and they have that courage to do it. And I just want to, you know, be able to help them to develop a daily practice, but to, you know, just working through some different, doing some different work to be able to really manifest that too, because that was the thing for me. I had to get to that point of sitting down, creating a, you know, a vision board, but, you know, really looking at it and seeing, you know, each thing that I have here, can it serve me? Would I really like to do this? You know, can I do it? And I really began to breathe life into it and believe in it. And those things have happened for me. Being in this program was actually one of those things on my 2012 vision board.
What do you mean?
So it's just,
oh, wonderful.
Actually participating, because I'm just like, okay, where are you going to pull the money from for this, and what are you going to do? And I just got up every day, and I'm like, you know what? It will happen. You will get the clients you need or whatever it is. And, you know, 2 days before it happened, and I'm like, I'm good. So I just feel like I'm living and breathing what I'm trying to help other women to do. And, you know, and overall, I think once you do that, that's where we too get back to our connection with the Divine Mother and realizing just how beautiful we are. And like I said, we all have a purpose for being here.
Wow. Well, Kelly, this is a great example. Thank you so much. First of all, congratulations on manifesting your vision to be in this program, and thank you for raising your hand and sharing. This is a great example. So you have done a great job of naming your the transformation you want to offer, really, really clear, super clear, you know, taking women from feeling like they don't have, you know, they don't have family, they don't have friends, and helping them find the courage and the confidence to manifest their dreams. That's really, mm-hmm. really clear. Great. do you know how you're going to offer this?
Well, I would like to, and I've been trying to, like, focus in on one. I would actually like to do seminars and workshops. I would also like to be available to do private sessions because I know sometimes everyone is not at that point of, you know, being open and being in a, you know, a group session to really want to
mm-hmm.
share. But I ended up yesterday just by chance getting, I've got invited to a church and we ended up, we invited everybody, but all women came and this was actually kind of like the start of it and eight ladies that are like, we want to do this for the next 4 weeks. What can you do to help us? So I guess I kind of, the group sessions are going to be a go.
Okay, good. Congratulations on that, manifesting that too. So here's the thing I would say is that this transformation, it sounds like you have one core transformation you want to offer, and over time you will develop different programs from the same transformation. So what I recommend you do, given that you already have eight women saying, help us, we want, and they've already committed, it sounds like, for 4 weeks, use this outline here to create your four-week program.
Okay.
And share it share it on the forum. So go. You can do this same. These eight steps are eight steps you can use over and over again every time you create a new program. And I want you to and this is good for everybody listening. Pick one program that you want to create. So rather than thinking of all of them, pick one. And it sounds like the next one in front of you is this 4 week program. And go through these exercises to outline it. Okay? Do you know how to do that? Is it clear? Are there pieces of it that are not clear?
No, I'm just taking down and jotting down notes as you're as you're telling me.
So,
but no, I get it.
This is a great example. So if we were going to look at the content delivery overview, it's a series of four committed classes. How long will the classes be? Now, that gets into the service delivery later, but how long will the classes be?
We are going to do 1 hour a week.
Okay. At the church?
Yes.
Okay. And are they paying for the four in a series, in a block?
Yes. They're doing four series. I honestly, in the past, have not had a whole lot of luck with doing drop-in classes, and it left me in a bad place financially. So what I've been doing just since, like, the end of last year is people prepay. So I'm charging them $40 per person, and there had to be a minimum of five people willing to sign up. And then the church gave me, like, a discounted rate of $12.50 per day that we do it to pay. So, and I was going to ask
eight.
You, do you, and I got eight. Do you feel that that is adequate for what I'm, you know, what I'm offering and what I'm doing?
Adequate meaning high enough price?
Yes.
You know, Kelly, this is why it really goes into Goddess Saraswati. That's only a question that you can answer. It sounds a little bit low to me, but I don't know your audience, I don't know your town, and I don't know what they're used to. And so you really need to decide based on what feels comfortable to you. It might be that for the first time, for you to have eight women and to charge this much is great. Another thing you need to look at is what is the income that you need and want to generate in your life in order to meet your financial obligations, support your business, grow your business, and be of great service. And so how many of these can you offer, and does it all add up to the income you need and want?
Correct. And I know before they offer Tai Chi and they've offered some different things, and I guess most of the teachers were doing $5 per class and they were doing drop-ins, but You know, so I just felt I've never charged less than $10 for a paid yoga class, even when I did drop-ins. So I just didn't want to go below that. But it was like you said, too, I was thinking if they're used to paying $5, you know, this is going to be double. And then maybe, you know, like you said, increasing it as it goes along. And then I'm really going to have to see, you know, how much more time and work is going to go into this as opposed to classes that I've taught in the past.
Now, a lot of times at churches, people are accustomed to paying less if you meet mm-hmm. them through a church. Not always, but often. That's one thing to keep in mind. And the other thing that I would ask you is just to see if this really fits this model of taking people into the ocean. Are you doing just yoga with them, or are you really taking them into a whole range of personal development and understanding? Because some of the things you talked about a vision board. You talked mm-hmm. about helping them identify what activity you said for you. When you were talking about your process, Kelly, you said you used a vision board. You said you used discernment about, does this activity serve me? Does that activity serve me? Are you planning on doing any of those things with them?
This is what we're at. Okay, the way it happened, it was one of my art/yoga students that I've had in the past, and she's like, I've been telling people at my church about you. I really want you to come and try something out. And like I said, this is kind of how things shaped up. We have also talked about maybe, you know, in a couple months trying to maybe do like a workshop or seminar for 2 to 4 hours where the women can come and do the vision boards and, you know, really go more in depth. But we're just trying to, I just wanted to really see, like you said, in the church setting, how it would be received, because this is my first time actually, you know, even teaching yoga at all in a church, in, you know, a church that I've never been to before.
Mm-hmm.
So, but I really, long term, I do know in my overall goal, like I said, is to be able to implement all of those different things that I told you about, because I've personally used that and it has worked phenomenally just in my life.
Okay. So what it sounds like to me is that through this activity, you're learning about what it means to teach in a church, mm-hmm. who shows up in a church, how you feel, how the pricing works. This does not sound to me like it's really your creative edge yet. I think that's still to come. And so you might want to go out and create that workshop. And ideally, honestly, what I'm wanting to see people step into is not just a one-time shot that's 2 hours, but like something that, you know, you can't really bring transformation to people in 2 hours. People need to be with you for a whole weekend, or they need to be with you for 4 weeks, or, you know, but not just 4 weeks for an hour. That's not enough to take someone to a deep level.
Okay.
So it sounds like what you're doing, and I'm not putting down what you're doing at all, because I hear that this is great growth for you to be reaching out and finding this audience of the church. And mm-hmm. what I would do is go teach your class, your Blissful Glow Yoga, have a great time doing it, and at the same time be thinking ahead to what you can offer that would be deeper, that would include more of your personal processes. Because for you, yoga was just one piece, right?
Mm-hmm.
So for you, yoga might be one of the steps in your overall process. I want you to look at what you have done and go to page, let's see here, page 13, I want you to brainstorm all the things you've done. So I know yoga is one of your steps. I know that you mentioned vision boarding. It sounds like you talked about discernment, where you're listing out all the things you want to do and then asking if they would serve you or not. Write out all the things you've done in your life that helped you grow. And then see if they fit into themes. And those could be themes for, you could do like a four-hour workshop three times or four times, you know, so they come over 4 weeks, or it's a weekend, or maybe it's Saturday and Sunday, but it's more in-depth. Because honestly, I'm going to guess, Kelly, and I don't have time to go deep. I want to see if there's anyone else who would like to ask a question or share. I'm going to guess you've got a lot in you, and you've got a lot you've done to get to where you are now. And so it's not something you can teach people in 2 hours or even 4 hours. So see if you can really develop your richness. And the name of that would not be Blissful Glow Yoga, because that sounds more like the name of your yoga process that you're teaching. I love the name Blissful Glow Yoga, by the way. But your in-depth program is going to be something else. It might not even have the word yoga in the title, because yoga is one of the processes, one of the ingredients that adds to the alchemy of your transformation. But, it's probably not the whole thing. So does that give you enough to start with?
It does. And that, what you just said last, that it may not include the yoga, and that's been something that I've gone back and forth with, because I'm like, it's not
in the title. In the title.
Right, in the title.
Yoga,
I'm just like,
yeah,
I'm just like, it might be more than that. It may not be. So I thank you, and I just appreciate everything thus far that you have shared with us, and it's just been so empowering and encouraging for what it is that I'm trying to do. So I appreciate the time that you've given us and all the helpful information.
Yay! Well, thank you so much for raising your hand, Kelly. It was very brave of you. Good to hear from you, and good to have this. I'm sure everyone has learned from what you shared as well, and getting to kind of go through it. Thank you.
Feel better.
Yeah, I know. Thank you. Okay, everyone, I see that we're just about at time. If anyone has like a 1 minute or 2 minute question, you can raise your hand. Otherwise, we will come more in depth on the mentoring. So for Monday's mentoring call, I'm going to go over the bios and kind of just give feedback on some of the bios that have been posted. So do post your bio if you would like feedback. And also, if you have other questions or we can go over anything from any of the previous units or this unit. If you'd like to talk about your signature program that you want to create, if you'd like to talk about any blocks or fears that you're like, what do I do with this block, this limiting belief, post that. You can raise your hand on the call on Monday. It's always better to post it if you can so that I know who is asking for time. If you want to go back to your core passion, anything from the unit on Durga, it's all fair game, anything we've done so far. So I will talk with you all on Monday. I'm just going to sit down here and send some blessings for for everybody who's been with us on this call. Let me just go see if there was any comments on that. Okay, Heidi. Hello, let me just read this. Hello, Laura, this is Heidi. Today's class is exactly what I needed to take me to the next level to deepen my writing and organizing my material in thoughts in creating a transformational series of workshops. I am getting clearer. Yay, Heidi. We're all learning together. Fantastic. I'm so glad for you, Heidi. This was helpful. Okay. So, I'm just going to actually, you know what I'd love to do is just sit quietly. I know this is, I'd like to do the mantra to Saraswati again before we end. I tune in a lot. I don't know if any of you noticed, but I just sat down, closed my eyes, said, how should we end our class? And I got the guidance to chant briefly say the Saraswati mantra, which is on page 1. And I encourage you to do that. Feel free if you're talking with someone, they ask you a question, you don't know the answer, or you want to think about something, say, just let me tune in for a minute. Close your eyes, take a breath, and see what comes. So, on page 1, Om, I'm Saraswatyai Namaha. Om, I'm Saraswatyai Namaha. Om, I'm Saraswatyai Namaha. So many salutations, so many blessings to Goddess Saraswati. May we all be guided with our highest wisdom, our highest good. May we all step out with love and sweetness and courage and strength. Bring our gifts to this world and shine our light together. May we all be guided in the way we need to thrive, living our lives with abundance and beauty. Sending you all a big hug today. Namaste.